I'm Joyce Meyer, and I believe that God can heal you everywhere you hurt.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us today on Enjoying Everyday Life. You are going to love this today because we're going to explore something specific for you. God has put gifts and talents in every one of us, and those gifts aren't just for us. They're meant to bless us and others, but they aren't always so easy to discover. So on today's program, we dig into a conversation on finding your thing. We're going to talk about your talents, all the wonderful things that you have to offer, and some great ways to use them. So this is where we talk about the practical things of life, God's word, applying it to our life, and we're all very different.
Oh. Yeah.
We like different things, but we all have gifts and talents and different ways that we can serve God. And I think sometimes we think, if I'm not Joyce Meyer, if I'm not just like Aaron, I don't have anything to give. I don't know how to serve the Lord. And so I think it's a great conversation to talk about the things that God has put in each one of us that can come out in very, very different ways.
Right.
But they can all be used for God's kingdom in beautiful ways. Do you guys, well, Joyce, it's hard to even talk to you about this because...
Well, thank you.
Because your call was just so evident. I mean, yeah. God made it so plain in your life. You knew what your gifting was, and you had a direct path, which is awesome. A lot of people don't have that way. So let me look at Aaron.
Thank you. Mine's been less direct. So.
Well, now, wait a minute. I want to say something about what you said.
Oh, okay, go ahead. Yes.
See, the thing that God has taught me is my teaching and preaching and writing— that's my ministry. But I have to, in my personal life, I need to serve in normal ways. You know, just like I would tell somebody else to serve.
Yeah.
I don't just get to preach it to everybody else. I have to live it and do it.
Oh, see, I'm really glad you said that. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
I think that's an interesting point. I hope we talk about this because
I think we can if you want to, because you're doing it right now.
Okay, great. Let's talk about this.
I think somebody had some too much spice already today.
The idea of, when I was thinking through this, how your career and like maybe your professional calling is different from our calling for what we do for the Lord and our service to Him. And and how do those two intersect? Because I think as Christians and in the church, we talk a lot about like, what's my purpose? What's my calling? I was curious from your perspective, is that the same thing as what we're called to just as Christians? We are all called to serve God in some capacity and we're all called to love people. And I just think sometimes we might get those things confused.
Well, first of all, I think that people think of ministry as always having to be something spiritual.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Anything that you're doing for God is spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's something that wouldn't ordinarily be considered spiritual, you know, it's, I mean, if you're going to the grocery store and you're doing it for God and you go in there with the purpose of being a blessing to people and encouraging people, and who knows, God might tell you to pay for somebody's groceries, or He might have you let somebody with two items go ahead of you, you know, that's got a full cart. I mean, literally, there are ways to show love to people everywhere you go if you're just open to it. And so that trip to the grocery store can become a ministry for God.
Yeah.
And so this ordinary thing becomes a holy, anointed, special thing, and people don't see that. They don't. They don't think that that qualifies because you're not on a pulpit or you're not behind a microphone. Or
I like the thought of that.
I do too.
So, what we want to do right now is see what the Bible says about how we use our talents and our gifts, and why it matters so much. So, here's Joyce talking about that a little bit.
Now, fruitfulness means fertile, or the quality of being prolific at producing many young. In other words, we need to be prolific at producing good things out of our life. Fruitless, of no advantage or good effect, vain, idle, useless, and unprofitable. Now, you're probably familiar with the parable of talents. How many of you are familiar with parable of the talents? In Matthew chapter 25, where the owner of the vineyard goes away and he leaves several of his servants with a certain amount of money and expected them to invest it and use it. Then when he came back to give him more than what he had left them with. And I'm not going to turn to the story and tell the whole thing, but the first one invested his, got some back, second did the same thing, third one did the same thing. The fourth one was afraid, and he hid his in the ground. So when the master came back, the first three he talked to, he did a good job, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And he didn't give all of them the same amount. He gave them according to what they could handle. So God doesn't expect the same thing out of all of us. We're not all called to write 120 books. We're not all called to do the same thing. We're not all called to be able to sing like Phil does. But whatever we can do, it's a gift that God put in us, and he put it in us for somebody else. Are you there? So for me to sit out there and be jealous of somebody up here that can sing real good is so ridiculous, because God didn't give them the gift for their benefit. He put the gift in them so you could be blessed. I tell people, God gave me a gift to speak. All it causes me to do is work. It's for you. It's not for me. Now, I enjoy what I'm doing, but I get the work part and you get to go enjoy it, you know? You don't have to be in the back room singing notes and practicing music and doing exercises with your voice every day. There's work to what people do. And so God gives us a little something, what we can handle, and he expects to get back more than what he gave, because he is a God of multiplication. And to the last guy who said, well, I was afraid and I hid what you gave me, but now here I can give you back what you gave me. God called him a wicked, lazy, idle servant. And he said, take it away from him and give it to the one who has the most. And so it's very simple. You use it or you lose it. In God's economy, if you don't use what God's given you, then he will get somebody else to do what you have the opportunity to do. Every one of you are in ministry. I now announce to you that every one of you are ordained. If you're a believer, you are ordained for ministry. Amen.
So a lot of people right now love the idea of that, love the enthusiasm of the possibilities.
Yeah.
But their first question is, I don't do those things. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a singer. I don't go to the grocery, whatever it may be. But we do have a lot of excuses, I think, or and maybe they're not excuses as much as sometimes they're fears or insecurities that we think there's nothing in me that I have to offer.
Well, part of that is just having a poor self-image. You know, you need to see yourself the way Christ sees you and not the way you've always seen yourself or the way other people have said that you are. But Jesus said, the greatest among you is the servant of all. Well, what comes to our mind when we hear the word servant? I don't want to be just a servant. You know, mm-hmm. I want to do something great.
Yeah, like it's a low place.
But Jesus said that is the greatest thing.
Yeah.
And here's what the definition says. Servant presents the, this is from the Greek, presents the idea of subjection without bondage. If I am your servant, I can submit to you without feeling that I've lost my freedom.
Hmm. That's interesting. Well, I've never heard it that way.
No, I haven't either.
It's hard to say, is that all I can get out of either one of you? Huh?
Yeah. Look at that. No, that's a deep thought.
I know two people that when I ask them to say something, their answer is my pleasure. And that just sounds so good.
Yeah.
You know, not just okay or
that's why
yeah,
people go to Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Treat you nice.
They don't just say, okay, yeah, you know, whatever. It's just my pleasure. And I just think that is so attractive. You know, it actually makes you sound like the person really feels blessed in doing it. And God actually wants us to feel that way. We have to get over the idea of thinking that being a servant means you're going to scrub somebody's floor. That doesn't, that's not the connotation. Anytime when I'm preaching, I'm serving you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're serving people today by putting together this program for them. As so servanthood is, I mean, anything from being friendly to giving somebody a ride to cooking a meal or praying. That's, I love the people that pray for me.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't know where I would be if people didn't pray for me on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And so there's no excuse for anybody to think, well, I just don't have any gifts. I can't do anything.
So how do we find our thing? How do we find our thing?
What do you like?
For Jesus. Okay.
What do you like?
Yeah.
I like to cook. Good. Well,
she's
cook.
Not talking about us.
No.
No.
We are definitely not part of
cooking.
This.
You say, I like to cook. Well, then find somebody who doesn't like to cook but likes to eat.
Huh. Now she's talking about us.
Yeah, that's
now
us.
Yeah.
And, no, that's great. That's true.
Very practical.
I mean, there's people that, I tell a story about a woman came to a pastor and said she was depressed and wanted to get a counseling appointment. So he gave her one for about 2 weeks away. He said, but there's something I want you to do in the meantime. He said, you know those good chocolate chip cookies you make that I love? She said, yeah. He said, I want you to make as many of them as you can and just give them to people.
Hmm.
Well, she never came back for a counseling appointment. And he, next time he saw her, he said, you never showed up for your appointment. She said, oh, after I started doing those cookies, I got so happy I wasn't depressed anymore.
Oh, wow.
And so.
Yeah. That was her thing.
Uh-huh.
She baked cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, everybody has something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody has something that they can do that makes somebody else happy, that puts a smile on somebody else's face. I mean, even like just being really friendly. Like when we go out to eat, my husband always is very friendly with the waiters and the waitresses. Sometimes it annoys me because I'm hungry and I want to eat, and he's getting their life story, which I'm wrong, he's right. But he always shows an interest in them. How long have you been here? You know, whatever it is. And, you know, that may be somebody that nobody ever shows them any personal interest.
Mm-hmm.
They just, you're my waiter, wait on me, and grouch about everything they do, and you're not fast enough, and this and that and something else. And then here's somebody that just wants to know how I am. How do I like my job? How long have I been here? You know, a few things like that. So being friendly can be a gift. Not being nosy, but being friendly.
Yeah.
And everybody has gifts. It's not just the 9 gifts of the Spirit that are listed in Corinthians. There's gifts of organization, you know. I know a lot of people would probably love it if some organized person would come and organize their life. You know, there's...
And that might help them serve the Lord in their own way.
Right, might help them. Like, I have people that do that for me, you know. I mean, I'm not a disorganized person, but I don't have time anymore to do some of the things that I used to do.
Mm-hmm.
And God's provided people that help do those things for me.
I had a friend who came over a couple weeks ago, and she organized my kitchen and the pantry. And I said, you don't have to do this. I mean, I hate it, but you don't have to. And she said, I love doing this. It's so fun to me. So I said, absolutely. You want to come back in a month. But it was, you're exactly right. Like that was, it brought her joy, brought me joy too. Yeah. But
I asked my executive assistant, what do you do with when you have free time? She says, I organize my drawers. I said, that's what you do for entertainment? She said, oh, I love it. I just love it.
I love
to get in there and organize. And I do it when I have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not something I can't do, but I wouldn't call it my top thing. But I think when people want to know what am I called to do, first thing to do is ask yourself, what do I like?
Mm-hmm.
What do I enjoy? What am I good at?
Yeah.
What do I like? What do I enjoy? Mm-hmm. What am I good at? God is not going to call you to do something you hate. That's not what
you think that's true?
Yes.
Like, I wonder about Jonah or, you know, he didn't want to go.
Well, that was Jonah's problem, not God's. I mean, God is not going to call you to anything that you hate. I mean.
Oh.
Man, you are a live wire today.
I hear what you're saying, and I wonder sometimes.
There are times God calls you to something. Maybe it's that you don't want to do is different than.
Yeah.
Well, Jonah needed.
I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Jonah needed to change.
Okay.
He needed
to
change.
That's fair.
And maybe God had to put him in a situation where he was going to either change or get dealt with. And I would say getting swallowed by a whale is getting dealt with.
He got dealt with.
And
yeah. I've had to do stuff in life that I know I was called to do, and it was serving other people. And I knew I was supposed to be doing it, but I did not like it. But I also knew I was supposed to do it. So I also wonder, like, does he sometimes just use it as a training ground?
Yes.
Because I needed to learn those lessons in that season that mm-hmm. I hated.
He uses those things to test you, to test your obedience,
mm-hmm.
to test your faithfulness. And that probably wasn't something you were called to for life.
No, thank goodness.
So. Oh, okay, yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So he's not going to call us to do something for my long term that I am miserable in.
That you're just, hating every day of doing.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
It does. Because, you know, you hear that a lot often. If you're in a job that you hate, that God wouldn't call you to do something you hate. But then what about, like, sometimes you have to provide for your family, and that's just where you have to work.
Well, there's all different kinds of ways that you can look at things like that. I don't believe that God would call you to work at something that you hate all your life, but you mm-hmm. might have to be there for a season,
mm-hmm.
you know, like you said, to provide mm-hmm. for your family. But, I mean, I work hard at what I'm doing, and thank God I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't imagine working that hard. I mean, a passion for something is what motivates you and drives you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what enables you to do it maybe a long time after other people would have
right.
given up.
Mm-hmm. And there may
and
be
quit.
A sacrifice in it.
Yeah, there's sacrifice in it.
Yeah. We do have to sacrifice for what God asks of us often.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's not always easier. I think that's a mistake that people make. It's going to go perfectly because mm-hmm. I know God's called me to this. It doesn't always work that way either.
Yeah. I think there's
but
a lot of people that are just, I think there's probably more people just called into the helps ministry than all the rest of them put together.
Hmm.
I mean, like, I have a sister-in-law, and she just helps people. She just helps all kinds of people. A lot of times she'll help elderly people. Hmm. She bakes for people. She just...
Yeah, that's great.
You know, she just... Wherever there's a need, she'll meet it if she can. And so I think a lot of the things that get overlooked are just the simple, quiet, but very beautiful things to God
mm-hmm.
that maybe don't get a lot of hand claps or get your name in the paper, but they get your name in heaven.
Mm-hmm. I remember one thing like that. That when you say God won't call you to something you don't like, when Taylor, our firstborn, was 2 years old, I realized that 2 year old kids, they just have they're just like little sponges. I mean, you can tell them about the Lord and they love it. And we didn't have a 2 year old 2 and 3 year old class at church. Mm-hmm. And I knew that God was telling me I've got to teach the 2 and 3 year olds at church. Well, I did not think I liked that. I did not want to do that. But I saw that great potential.
You met a need.
In those kids, exactly. And in doing what I thought I wouldn't like, God showed me that I loved it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't want to do it forever. Let's be really clear. Mm-hmm. This is not my lifelong calling. Yeah. I'm not doing it today. But for that time,
it
was what I needed to do. It met a need, and it met a need in me at the same time. So there are seasons for the things that God asks us to do.
Yeah, certainly. I'm glad you kind of clarified this, because I don't want people to think that God will never ask you to do something that you don't want to do. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he's going to have you teaching 2 and 3 year olds the rest of your life, because that's really not your gifting. I mean, mm-hmm. you're probably good at it then, but, you know, that's not your...
No, that's definitely fair to say. Yeah.
But when I first got really serious about the Lord and really wanted to start serving him, to be honest, I tried everything. I mean, I didn't care what it was as long as it had something to do with God. And I tried working in the nursery, and it didn't take very long for me to find out that wasn't for me. I tried street ministry, found out that wasn't for me. Sometimes you just have to try some things, mm-hmm. and you got to do a few things until you... It's kind of like going out to... find the outfit for the party. You try on one until you know you hit the right one. Mm-hmm. And
you can't always tell on the hanger until you put it on.
One thing is for sure, as long as what you do is being done out of love, it's a good thing.
I want to ask, going back to what you said about the Helps ministry, because I wonder if some of the things that we can do to serve people isn't even an option for us to say that that's my calling or not. Like, if I am able to, and I have the resources to help somebody where I see a need, whether or not that's my call and purpose in life, shouldn't I just do it?
Yes. Yeah. Don't have to have a call from God. I always say you don't have to have 2 angels appear to you and mm-hmm. 4 prophecies to go do something. A long time ago when I first started wanting to give even beyond my tithe at that point. I wanted to, but I didn't want to give up my money. And I felt like God wanted me to give somebody $10. And I was like, okay, God, if this is really you. I mean, I wanted all this confirmation. If this is really you. And I remember the Lord said, you know, even if it's not really me, I won't get mad at you if you give somebody $10. And so it's kind of like what you're talking about. It's like I don't have to have a special word from God to help a little lady with her groceries, getting them to her car, if I can see that there's a need. Now, God, are you calling me to help her put those groceries away or not?
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine how much different the world would be if everybody would just be kind to one another?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Kindness isn't a special calling from God. It's what you do as a Christian.
Yeah.